Judas saw Jesus stilling the storm. He saw Jesus walking on water. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. He saw Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Judas saw it all. And yet, Judas was willing to sell out the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. How bad does it get?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, we listened as Pastor Grant told the story of the cross and Christ's redeeming victory and rising from the dead. This week, Pastor Grant takes us back to just a few days before, when Jesus met alone with his disciples to observe Passover. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 26 and verses 17 to 30 as Pastor Grant brings a message from God's Word entitled, A Day to Remember. Pastor Grant.
After World War II, Germany was divided in two, and so was Berlin. East Berlin was the communist side, and West Berlin was democratic. And so you can guess what happened. Over the years, millions of people fled from East Berlin, and they went to the West Berlin side. So after a while, the East Berliners decided enough was enough. And so with permission from Russia, because if you know the history, you'll remember that the East Germany and East Berlin was one of the Soviet countries. And so with permission from the Russians, the East Berliners decided overnight to build a wall. It started off with a fence, and overnight, you literally woke up the next morning and you found that you were locked in. East Germany had shut the thing down and folks could no longer go free from one side to the other. Except for a lucky few, crossing over to West Berlin had ended. People were now desperate. Folks were trying everything to get out. And over the years, of all the hundreds of thousands of people who lived in East Berlin, over the years, only about 160 people a year were able to escape. They took great risks. Some of these people jumped, and you should have seen how the fence, it was amazing. The wall that was built, you know, some of the houses were right on the wall. And so some people decided, let's try and jump through the wall, jump through our third or fourth floor window. And let's see, some people died on the jump, was a fatal jump. But some people made it. Eventually, of course, the East Germans sealed up every window on that side of the wall. So everybody's house that had a window close to the wall was sealed. But people were trying hot air balloons over the wall. People were going through the sewers because people were desperate to escape. The wall was almost impenetrable. And thousands of people were killed, some by the guards, some by just their escape, the method they chose to try to escape. But this morning, I want to talk about two other walls. The Berlin Wall was almost impenetrable. But I want to talk about two walls which were really impenetrable. You really could not get through these. And the first wall I want to talk about, as I deal with this passage this morning, I want to talk about the veil of the temple. Now, this first wall was actually a curtain, a veil that was placed in the tabernacle and later in the temple. Its purpose was to show that the holiness of God should not be trifled with. In Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13, the word of God tells us that God's eyes are too pure to look at evil. He cannot tolerate wrongdoing. And so, my friend, I want to make sure we get the idea here. What God was actually doing, God was putting a veil to make sure that man could not carelessly and irreverently enter into his holy and awesome presence. And sometimes in the year 2014, somehow, some of the majesty and the holiness of God has been, not that he has lost it, but somehow mankind today seems to have forgotten the holiness of God. But God put a veil there so that we could not enter irreverently and carelessly into his awesome presence. You may say, that's not fear. We're not really that bad. Really. It's interesting that our passage today gives us one of the most classic examples of human depravity. And as we were reading, he read about one of the followers of Jesus, a man by the name of Judas. Now, I notice that many of you have given your children Bible names. But I have met too many of you who have named your son Judas. Am I right about that? Judas, no, just think of it. Just stop for a moment. Judas was privileged to spend time with Jesus during his entire public ministry. Judas saw the miracles. Judas saw this Jesus stilling the storm. He saw Jesus walking on water. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. He saw Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Judas saw it all. And yet, Judas was willing to sell out the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. How bad does it get? You know what that tells me? Not everybody who hung out with Jesus loved the Jesus. But it tells me that not everybody who hangs out in church loves the Savior either. My friend, I want to ask you this morning, as you are here in God's house, and we're so delighted that you're here in God's house, but are you in love with Jesus? Are you in love with my Savior? Or are you here for some other motive? You know, sometimes folks come to church for their own little reason. But oh, I hope this morning you have come into the house of God with a heart determined to worship this God. In verse 26, chapter 26 of Matthew, verse number 14, Judas approached the Jewish leaders to arrange to turn Jesus over. So he made a deal. You saw that there in chapter 26, verse 14. The Bible says, what Judas, one of the 12 called Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, what are you willing to give me if I turn him over to you? And you dare sit here this morning and ask me, are we really that bad? So they counted him 30 silver coins. Is that all Jesus was worth? 30 silver coins. The Bible says, from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And so look at verse number 23, the final time. So Jesus replies, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl, Jesus is now alerting Judas to the fact, I know the scheme. I know what's going down. Listen, something is going to go down here tonight, and I know what's going to go down. Jesus says, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl will betray me. Oh, I hope you realize all of your shenanigans, God knows all about it. Let me just stop there. All your stuff, sir, young lady, young fellow, the stuff that's passing through your mind, God knows all about it. But you know, I must tell you, this still shakes me, that the fact that God knows all my mess and all my shenanigans, the fact that God knows some stuff about me that you don't know about me. Nobody knows, and God knows. And here is the awesome fact. God knows it, and still he loves me. My friend, I want you to know it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what drama has been in your life. It doesn't matter how you have messed up. I want you to know this God of the universe knows all about you, and this God still loves you. And change and transformation will come to your house today if you will stop in your tracks and turn to Jesus. But Judas was not going to stop in his tracks. Jesus says, I know what's going down. And Jesus gives him a warning. Did you see the warning here in verse number 24? Jesus says, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. If you were Judas, would you have stopped? Jesus says, I know what's going down. And I'm going to warn you, it would be better for you if you had not been born. And here is Judas, verse 25. Surely not I. Did you see, is that in your Bible too? Judas looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, I know you're not talking about me. How barefaced can we be with our sin? You couldn't be talking about me. And it's obvious from the context, if you read all the passages, because none of the other disciples heard it, Jesus clearly just said it to him. Jesus said, because you may wonder, how come nobody else knew? It is obvious Jesus did not say, yes, it's you. Jesus says, yes, it is you. Isn't it amazing how tender God is? Just stop and think how tender he is. He knows exactly who it is. The man comes with all his little stuff. And Jesus doesn't put him on blast. Jesus tenderly says, yes, it's you. You know, as I'm preparing, I'm saying, sure, how in the world could Judas continue? I mean, if you think of it, not only have you seen everything, Jesus knows it's what you're up to. Jesus is telling you it is you. I know it's you. Jesus is telling you, woe to you. It would be better that you were not born. Judas goes right out. You know what's this great tragedy? That there are folks who come to churches. Perhaps some folks who are at this church, perhaps somebody who is here this morning, people who have seen the power of God, people who are aware of God's judgment on the unbeliever, people who have heard the message, people who have had the warning of what God says, and yet there are individuals who know, but they haven't turned. They're still going. The Spirit of God comes to your heart. And he knocks and he says, let me in. And there's perhaps somebody here this morning who up till now you are still resisting the voice of the Spirit of God. Up till now you have not opened your heart and said, Lord Jesus, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And God comes to you one more time and he's knocking again and he's warning you that it would be better for you if you were not born than to reject him and land in a Christless eternal hell. It is better for you if you had not been born. And I pray this morning, my friend, that somebody here, some sinner who has so far rejected the offer of grace of Jesus, that you will come to him, that you will not do like Judas, who neglected the warning, that you will not do that, but you will cast yourself at the foot of Jesus.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
God wanted it to be clear that we are rotten from the head. Listen, you may have all the degrees. You know, I'm all for education. I'm all for it. But I want you to recognize, no matter how educated you are, if you don't know Jesus, it doesn't really help you too much. You're still just an educated sinner. There are some uneducated sinners and there are some educated sinners, but it doesn't make much difference. It's all the same. And so God says, listen, I am so holy, I'm going to block access. You see, this veil prevented access to the most holy place. Whoever entered this most holy place, some Bible versions call it the Holy of Holies. You hear it referred to as the Holy of Holies or the most holy place. Whoever entered into this most holy place was entering the very presence of God. You see, this is before Jesus died on the cross. So in the Old Testament economy is what I'm talking about. And in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, you actually had a place called the most holy place or the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says that's where the presence of God actually rested. And so God was so holy, he put a veil to block anyone, everyone, even the high priest. And God says once a year, the high priest was allowed to enter, but he could only come on a prescribed day. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. But only the high priest entered the inner room. And the Bible says not only the high priest entered the inner room, but the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 7, that he only entered once a year. And it says here, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. God is so holy, even the high priest couldn't just walk in. And the Bible has some specific requirements for the high priest to enter. We should never trifle with the holiness of God. Amen. But there was a second wall. And I'm going to call this wall the wall of partition. The wall of partition. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. The wall of partition. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. Here's the Apostle Paul as he writes. He says, therefore remember. Now remember, Jesus has now died and resurrected from the dead, and the Apostle Paul is helping us to remember. And he says, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles, is there a Gentile in the house? Am I the only one? I remember the first time it's not often I get called a Gentile, but I moved once into a neighborhood, and I guess a couple of Jews were nearby, and so it was some new homes, and we were the first, usually I'm called something other than a Gentile, but a Caucasian gentleman, he ran across their house. He said, oh, I'm so excited, there's another Gentile in the neighborhood. Well, I can be anything you want me to be, amen? So I am a Gentile. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. It says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. Okay, that's the Jews called us the uncircumcised. All right, verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. Come on now, you were, there was a wall. We Gentiles were behind a wall that was worse than the Berlin Wall. We were excluded from citizenship in Israel. We were foreigners to the covenant. We're going to talk a little bit about the covenant. Foreigners to the covenants of the promise. We were without hope and what? Without God in the world. But thank God, verse 13, there's a change. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has what? Destroyed. Are you glad about that word? He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Hallelujah. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and his regulation. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. God's purpose was to bring the Jew and Gentile together. Amen. Verse 16, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. There was a wall of partition. There was actually a dividing wall in the temple courts. Do you know that in the temple, there was actually a wall. The Gentiles were allowed to enter into what is called the court of the Gentiles. You see, the further you got into the temple, the holier it got. Until, of course, you got all the way to the most holy place. And as we told you before, only the high priest could go there, and only once a year. But on the outer court, there was what was called the court of the Gentiles. And we Gentiles were allowed to go there. But we could go no further. There was actually a sign in Greek and in Latin which said, whoever is captured will have himself to blame for his subsequent death. And the Romans gave the Jews the authority to kill any Gentile who dared to stray beyond the barrier. In fact, even Roman citizens were executed if they dared to stray beyond this barrier. There was this dividing wall that blocked us. What a condition. Without hope and without God. Man, I tell you. But today I can praise God because Jesus has demolished the walls. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.